It's just like, God, you've been so good, but now I get to bring the icing on it and to minister that. So turn to the person next to you and say, you are sharp this morning. How many know that? That's a compliment, isn't it, to be sharp? Someone who's dressed pretty nicely, is they're looking sharp. To be sharp is a positive thing. It's you know, if I said to Jay, he'll appreciate this. I said, oh, I saw the Lakers, our basketball team, playing, and in the first quarter, I said they were sharp. Jay would be pleased. That would make him smile, because the opposite of sharp is, they're flat. There's something not right. They're not connecting. Maybe that's your story of your football team, your sporting team. Hallelujah. Turn with me. Let's see where this goes and why you... Remember, turn to the person next to you and say, remember, you're sharp this morning. Isaiah 35. Yeah. Oh, like a... Oh, there, Graham says to Judith, he's like a scalpel. She's sharp. She's sharp this morning. Hey, Isaiah 35. Amen. And turn to the person that said it to you and say, you're right. I'm sharp this morning. Isaiah 35, this is a prophecy. I love the book of Isaiah. It saw the life of Jesus ahead. It saw the calling, the gifting. But not just in terms of details or prophetic instructions. It was seeing the purpose of the Messiah, seeing that the Son of Man coming, seeing that the servant, the special servant that Isaiah saw, he said, and he just saw the purpose and the plan. He saw what God was going to do with him. And in fact, later on in Isaiah 61, we're in Isaiah 35. I haven't picked the wrong one, but later on in Isaiah 61, Isaiah prophesies these words, the Spirit of Yahweh is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted, send me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And they were the very words that when Jesus was launching out in his ministry, when he was back at his hometown, and Jesus was a rabbi, so they invited him up. You know, it's like, hey, back in his hometown, the rabbi's here, come and share. So he asked for the scroll to be brought out. And he read from that Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he's anointed me. And he actually said, this has been fulfilled today. I'm the one that Isaiah spoke of. When Isaiah was saying those words, now I am saying these words. Isaiah was prophesying it, but now I'm saying, I'm the one. These are my words. What a powerful statement. And in Isaiah 35, we have other words where it's being prophesied that what's going to happen. And it says, it talks about the wilderness in verse 1 of chapter 35. The wilderness and the desert will be glad. It talks about dry places coming to life. This is what God's planned for. I have a poster my family made for me, you know, like this size. It sits on the wall of my study, and it talks about going from the wilderness into a garden. Do you know what I mean? From the place from deserts to gardens. I got this big poster, and it's just there with a scripture, not this scripture, but another one from Isaiah. It talks about from deserts to gardens, and it's a constant reminder. This is why we're here. We're bringing this place that we're in, which is dry, into a place of flourishing, to bring this scripture, these scriptures to the truth. And it says the Araba, which is, you know, the desert, will rejoice and blossom. It will blossom profusely. It talks about this life being here. And in verse 5 and verse 6, it talks about some of the things that we will see. It says, then the eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame will leap like deer. And the tongue of the dumb will shout for joy. Now that could be, that's sort of expressing, you know, spiritual eyes being opened or people getting revelation. It talks about not physical things necessarily, but just the spiritual equivalents. But it's interesting that all those things, the blind, the deaf, the dumb, the lame, all became a significant part of Jesus' actual ministry and his life. When Jesus came, these words that Isaiah had prophesied, these things that spoke of Jesus when he said he came, they became expressions of the life. Yes, he's going to open our eyes spiritually, but he also opened our eyes physically. Yes, he will free me internally, but he freed us externally. He didn't make a distinction. And I want to praise God. I say our God, Jesus, is awesome because he heals me spirit, soul, and body. He just doesn't sort of say, well, no, sorry, I'm only here for salvation. He says, I'm here to save you. And part of that expression is this ministry of life coming into your spirit, soul, and body. And so it says the blind will be open, the deaf. So the eyes of the blind will be open, the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. The lame will leap like deer. The dumb, they will shout for joy. Hallelujah. I love it. The further it goes, you see that the eyes of the blind, well, they'll be open. The ears of deaf will be unstopped. But as it goes, the excitement builds. And it says, and it doesn't say the lame will walk. It says the lame will leap like a deer. It doesn't say the dumb will speak. It says the dumb will shout. It's like, can you see this is God's plan, not just to get you over the line and say, well, technically you're healed because you're not as sick as you were. It's like, no, I'm getting you so far over the line that you don't have to even wonder. You are healed and whole. And so it's just amazing. And even in Isaiah 53, probably one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, which saw the work and the purpose of the servant. And it talks about in verse 4, for our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being, it fell upon him. By his scourging we are healed. You know, all we are like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned to his own way. But the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. This prophecy about this servant who would take our sins and our shame and everything associated with it upon himself and become a satisfying sacrifice to the Father. And he didn't deserve it, but he took it. And then in Matthew chapter 8, if you go across to there, Matthew says that scripture where it says he himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases is actually quoted in Matthew chapter 8, verse 17, because Matthew says, that which was prophesied and now we are seeing, not just in the work of the cross, which was still to come, but in the physical healings and the manifestation of liberty that people were getting. Because in verse 16 of Matthew 8, it says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with the word and healed all who were ill, in order that it was that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, he himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Amen. So these things that Isaiah prophesied, Jesus was manifesting and doing. But there's something I like in Isaiah 35. It says, the blind will see, the lame will walk. You know, the dumb will be speaking, the deaf will be hearing, all these things. It's everything. And I like what it says in Matthew chapter, all who were ill. Matthew 9:35 says, and Jesus was going about the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. And verse 1 of chapter 10, he summoned his 12 disciples, gave them authority, unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. He is awesome because he heals us spirit, soul, and body, but his healing is for all kind and everything is manifesting there. And it's interesting, you can actually go through chapter 8 and chapter 9, and to see a whole lot of different healings. Chapter 8 and 9, there's a bit of a summary of the different healings that happened. There's other things that were there as well. But I'm just going to go through from, and I'll just pick out the ones I've just highlighted when I was reading through it this morning. So let's just do it. Verse 2 of chapter 8, there was a leper. And he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And what did Jesus say? I'm not so sure. He said, Isaiah 35 never mentioned leprosy. We may have a problem. Now, what did he say? I'm willing. Because he said, you know, I understand it's everything. And I am willing. If you're willing, you can make me clean. He said, I am willing. Be cleansed. Immediately, his leprosy was clean. And then from verse 5, a centurion sends a message and comes to him with the message that my servant is lying paralyzed at home and suffering great pain. He's both unable to walk but and also really being tormented in that. What did Jesus do? He sent forth the word because he said, I'll come. He said, oh, you don't even need to come, just say it. Praise God for that kind of faith. Verse 14, when Jesus had come to Peter's home, he saw Peter's mother-in-law lying sick in bed with a fever. Well, we can deal with that. And then, like I said in verse 16, all those who were healed, he healed all those who were ill. In verse 28, two demonized men who meet him at the tombs, well, they get set free. In verse 2 of chapter 9, behold, they are bringing to him a paralytic lying on a bed. Praise God. In the book of Mark and others gives the details that they came through the roof, but here it just says, hey, Jesus saw their faith, got him healed, got him forgiven and healed. How good is God? Chapter 18, verse 1, synagogue official comes and says, my daughter has died. That's sick. That's about as sick as you can get. Woman with a hemorrhage, verse 20, for 12 years, long-term sickness, nothing doing, helping her, one of the other Gospels talks about. She touches his garment, she gets healed. Jesus comes down in verse 24. He says, you know this girl that you said, she's not dead, she's just asleep. So they began to laugh at him. Who had the last laugh? Verse 27, as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men. Verse 30, they get healed, if you haven't picked up the pattern. Verse 32, when they're going out, behold, a dumb man and a demon possessed was brought to him. And when it says dumb, it means mute, not able to speak. And after the demon was cast out, he spoke. And they marveled. They said, nothing like this was ever seen in Israel. And verse 35, again, we read that he was healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. I just love it. Just the variety in what he's doing. But something I became aware of, we'll see if it works in verse 32. When I say works, it's a particular Greek word that was used for this. So Matthew 9, 32. I'll see if it's... Yeah, okay. So the Greek word there for the mute, for being dumb, is the word kophos. Turn the person next to say kophos. You've got to remember kophos. You know, there is a word for not being able to speak in Greek. It's alephos. It means, you know, unable to speak. But kophos is a different word, and it's used a few times. And it's interesting because it actually doesn't... Its direct translation is not mute or dumb. It comes from another word, which is... used when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, and it says they went out and they cut down the palm branches. That word for cut is very close. It's copto, which is related to this word. It's in the same family. And that word cut is related to this. So how does this word cut and that word cut? Because kophos, in its essence, means blunt. Not a, you know, it's one of the... The Mount's Greek dictionary says it's like this. Kophos is dull or blunt as a weapon. You know, like a weapon is just not able to, it's not sharp anymore. And it's used for two different types of situation. for both being unable to speak, but it's also used for being deaf. So sometimes when it talks about someone who is deaf, it'll use this word, and sometimes when someone is mute, they use the same word. And you have to wait for the context to see which sickness it was. So at one point it says, they brought someone to Jesus who was Kophos, and so he put his fingers in their ears, and their ears open up. So he's like, I know what that one is. And there's another one where he touched his tongue and he was able to speak, and so that was, he was healed of being mute. But the actual Greek word doesn't specify, and I thought that's a really interesting concept. It's not talking about the actual sickness. It's talking about what that sickness is doing to the body. It's blunting you from being and doing what you're called to do, from your body functioning as it should function. It's not just sickness, it's blunt. It's stopping you from doing. Your ears are stopped from doing what they should be doing. Your mouth is stopped from doing what it should be doing. And I just thought, that's a great, great understanding. In fact, there's another word for being for these things, which it's talks about being smoky. You know, it's like blindness, not being able to see, but it says it's like being smoked. And I think that's also a good expression of the fact that not just what we are. Let's see if I can get this. Looking at my notes while I speak. Not good for you, just fill in time. But the word unable to see is the word tough loss. And to those who follow some football teams, that's it's a word we use often. It was a tough loss. Tough loss, Greek word which means to envelop with smoke, be unable to see clearly. So the word for blindness is the word to be smoked. Just can't see properly. It's like I can't hear properly, I can't speak properly, I can't see properly. But those words have not just the description of the sickness, you know, we call blindness, deafness, muteness. They're the effect. They're not working as they should. They're dull. They've been blocked. And I think that's a great expression for a whole lot of sickness. When you're facing something and it's blocking you and dulling your ability to do what God's called you to do and to be at liberty to do what God's called you to be. But I praise God that His healing has come to make us sharp.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So turn to the person next to you and says, you are sharp today. And if there's something physically that is blocking you, we declare sharpness to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
We declare a release from that in Jesus' name. We declare an ability to break through and have that area as cutting edge. And not just sharp enough to cut soft butter, but we're talking about sharp, sharp. Hallelujah. You know, that's why lame leaping and the mute shouting in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Who thinks Mark looks sharp this morning? Mark, come and stand. Come up here. I want Mark, grab a microphone and come up here. Does Mark look sharp this morning? I'll tell you how sharp Mark is this morning. A lot of people, you know, Kirsty thinks he looks sharp. She probably, does she check you before you leave the house to say, yeah, you're sharp? All right, you know, like my wife is like, have you ever heard this? You're not wearing that shirt, are you? Like,
all the time.
No, it's like, no. No, I put it on to see if it fits. And I realise it obviously doesn't properly. And I think I'll go hang it back up now because I was just curious. I know I had all my other clothes on, but I had this one on just because I wasn't going to wear it. It's just you look sharp.
Oh, you're not dressed yet.
So, yeah. Yeah, you're not dressed yet. Oh, I thought I was, but maybe I'm not. So, you know, that's a good one too, Kirstie. That's the, you know, but he's looking sharp. But when I say looking sharp, I'm not talking just about his appearance. So even he looks sharp in his breakthrough shirt. He is sharp. I'll tell you why he's sharp. Can I tell you how I know he's sharp? I tell you it's because of that. What's over here. Had anyone noticed that over there? Yeah, is anyone curious what that is over there? Okay, we'll bring it over here. Mark and I, we will bring it together. I'm not bringing this alone. You'll see why. Mark, we'll leave it. We'll pick up the table. Oh. Mark is sharp. I'm telling you how sharp he is. Let's bring him right to the front. Mark, I'll tell you how sharp he is. 2 weeks ago on a Sunday, Mark was sitting over where he was today. And we had prayer. There was an anointing came into this building. Sharp. This anointing was for God's just working, moving and healing. And we had prayer for Mark because Mark was walking with a stiffness and a soreness because he'd hurt your back. Is that right? How long have you been had problems with your back?
Oh, I've had problems with my back for years and years and years. And it's been healed before, but it came on again very, very suddenly and very painfully.
Yeah, and we went over and I asked you, and you had pain going down your leg.
Yep.
It was a dull, like, pain that was just constant.
It was a dull pain, but it was like something was grabbing hold of my leg, causing numbness down to my knee.
Yeah, and I prayed. I remember going praying like that. And were you wearing a back brace or something?
No,
like
I wasn't wearing a back brace.
No, you were wearing something. I'm praying for you, and yeah. We're asking for healing. And we just began to pray, and the pain began to go away. And then it went right down to nothing, and I came back. And I'd come back a little bit, and we were praying. And there was such an anointing, and I said, a thought just came to me in that. I said, you know what, Mark, there's such an anointing here. I'm not just going to pray for you. I want you to pray for me.
That's right.
Because I was, you know, facing some things myself, yeah. So pray. And as you began to pray for me, what happened?
The pain went.
100%.
100% just completely went.
So praise God. So that week he was fully free, and we had him share last Sunday, and he was free. But then, you know, having a shower the next Sunday, you know, a bit of pain comes back, and it's like the enemy's like, you're not quite healed. But I love what Mark did last Sunday. It was like, no, 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 no. Right. How many know if you've got to watch for the... We'll just put a few symptoms back on and see how you respond. And many people go, I guess I wasn't healed after all. You know, welcome it all back, open up the door, you know, come in, make yourself comfortable. And I remember our dog, not our current dog, but our previous dog, Minnie, she was really sick. For one point, to the point she couldn't keep food down, something was not right. She went into the vets, and she was in the vet for 2 days, I think, 2 or 3 days, Chris. You know, it was, you know, a few days. They had a special diet, keep her off food, and gradually, because, you know, she was, you know, not able to. So we were able to bring her home, and she was fine. And but then started to get a few symptoms. She had some food. She went out. The family were all out. And our little dog went outside, and I took it, and she began to vomit, and it was not good, not healthy. And I rang the vet, and they asked me a few questions, and they said it's all, you know, it's not a problem as long as it's not this particular situation. In which case, she's probably hemorrhaging inside, and it was exactly that. And I remember hung up, the family not there, and I've got this dog, and I'm like, And I remember a couple of things. First of all, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, don't speak in tongues. You can't trust what you'll say. I said, don't speak in tongues. So don't speak in English. That makes a lot more sense. Thank you. That is why you do need a wife in the front row, because that is a very good catch. Don't speak in English. You can't trust what you'll say. So I spoke in tongues. I always thought that was good advice and helpful advice. I didn't realize till years later that it was actually a reprimand. I should have been able to speak in English. Not being able to speak in English is not normal. We should be able to speak, but I wasn't in a place where I would say the right things. I needed to be in the place when those things happen, the things that come out of my mouth are faith and confidence and boldness and the Word of God. But at that point, I wasn't there. So Holy Spirit protected me and said, speak in tongues so you're not saying things out of fear and out of worry and anxiety. So I began to speak in tongues. As I was speaking in tongues, this thought came to me. It was a Holy Spirit thought. It's not, and I'm saying this is not just something, I just made this up, or you should just do whatever you make up. I'm saying the Holy Spirit out of that dropped something in my heart. We said, if your dog was healed, what would you do? And I said, well, when I'm in this spot, right outside our back door, we have a game, we have a yard that goes back and forth. I would take a ball, a tennis ball, and I would throw it to the other end of the yard, and the dog would chase it like crazy and then bring it back. And we, you know, what you do with dogs, you know, over and over again. I don't know what dogs think. It's like, you idiot, I know you want this thing. I'll bring it back to you. Then you throw it away again. I'll go get it for you, you know. They love that game. This dog was weak, had not been eating for a few days, and its only meal, it was tottery. My thought was, if I did something like this, this is not going to work. Something came up in me that said, if this dog was well, what would you do? And a burst of faith came, and I picked up the ball and looked at the dog, and I threw it, and I said, fetch, and threw the ball. Minnie took off after it. By the time she got back, she was fully healed, full of energy, bouncing around. She lived till she was 20 as a little dog. That's a long time. She lived a good, and this was in her first 2 or 3 years. So she lived a long life. I remember when we'd picked up that dog as a puppy, I walked out and I carried the dog back to the car because, you know, that's the one. And I'm speaking, I said, dog, you know what? You are now blessed. Yep. Deuteronomy says that blessed are your livestock. Well, you're now ours. And guess what? You've come into a family of faith and covenant with God. You're now blessed. I thank God for those first words over our dog because that dog needed the blessing to get through that situation, and we enjoyed. So I gave the testimony the following Sunday, excited. I came home, and in the afternoon, after giving the testimony, excited, the dog vomited. I'm like, no, I've already testified. You ever done that? Praise God, and then you get the twinge. No, this can't be happening. But something rose up, and there's a little booklet by Kenneth Hagin, which is amazing, on keeping your healing. Sometimes you need to have two things. You need to know how to get healed. You need to know how to keep that healing. Because sometimes something will happen, and if you throw it all in, you've lost it. And so I looked at it, and the Lord said, don't worry. Just say, no, 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 no. That doesn't happen here. That's not what this dog... And I just said, no, no, we're not having any of that. And that didn't happen again. Just that one off. Just once off. Just to see whether I'd bite. Just to see. Would I take that back in and say, oh, our dog isn't... That's good. No, no, no. And so Mark had that opportunity last Sunday morning. Do I take this back? No, I don't. Literally, do I take this back? But no, I don't take it. How do I know he's sharp? Because on Wednesday this week... Right, and you cannot do that with the back that he had 2 weeks ago. Mark saw that we had a big branch had fallen down onto the fence, and he said, oh, I've got a chainsaw at home. Would you like me to come and chop up that branch for you? This is the sort of the idea. You know, we're talking a giant branch that had fallen. And if you go and look under the sign in our car park, there is a stack of these timbers that somebody was bending over with a chainsaw during the week. You just don't do that with a bad back. I had to get Mark to help me carry it. This is like, when we pick it up, this is really, really heavy. I said, Mark, how did you do this by yourself? He goes, oh, getting it over the fence was hard for some of them. I said, what? He said, because some of them had landed on the fence, and the fence, which is this high, is now this high, because it was this high under the branch, but imagine when the branch was cut, it went back up a bit. But some of them had landed on that side of the fence, the neighbor's side. Mark said, up and over, back, onto this side. He is sharp. That back is sharp. Amen. That back is not just dulled or just brought back. That's lifting. That's sharp. That's strengthened. Yeah. That's back to a strong point. God doesn't want you just to be existing with your dullness or to be experiencing that and working around it. He wants you sharp, healed. And I love the fact that that word doesn't just apply to one kind of sickness. It's just whatever is making you dull is what God heals. Now, in the Greek, it's deafness or it's being mute. But I'm just saying whatever is making you dull. Yeah. What is it that you're being challenged with that is making you dull? Well, we want to say in the name of Jesus, just like God worked in this back Amen. And made him sharp. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants to make you sharp. Amen. Let's give Mark a hand. Let's give God an even bigger hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand with me? And hallelujah. Because now when you say, I am sharp, you are now saying something prophetically to your body. Hallelujah. You say, you know what? I am sharp. Amen. I am sharp in Jesus' name. I am sharp in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This area of my body, which is dull, which is not functioning as it should, which is not operating in its proper capacity, which I'm having to work in reduced workloads or abouts or place, I thank in the name of Jesus. I'm sharp in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that sharpness comes from you and the work that you did. You said all kinds of sickness you healed, all kinds of diseases you healed. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. We speak that is the life that you've given to us. That's the opportunities you've given to us through the work of the cross. Hallelujah. This is not based on just our wishes and our desires. It's based on what Isaiah saw. And he said, he's coming and he's going to carry our sicknesses. He's going to carry our pains. He's going to be beaten and whipped. And those by those stripes, we are healed and made whole. This is how this was fulfilled when he went about healing all those who were sick. I appreciate what it says in Acts chapter 10. When Peter said, I walked with Jesus. I saw his ministry, the Jesus Nazareth. And he said, he went about doing good and healing all those who were under the oppression and the tyranny of the devil. For God was with him. The Holy Spirit anointed him. Holy Spirit enabled him and empowered him to do that. And I thank God that is the same Spirit that's working amongst us and in us. That's why we enjoy the sharpness that God gives to our bodies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you. That's why we hands can move and bend. Hallelujah. That's why knees have strength in them. That's why, Lord, legs have strength in them in Jesus' name. That's why our bodies function, Lord, in every area. Free, Lord, in Jesus. Now, our mind is sharp. Hallelujah. Our hearing is sharp. Our eyesight is sharp. Our speech is sharp in Jesus' name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. My throat is sharp. No, my internal organs are sharp. My lungs breathe deeply and strongly. My heart pumps regularly with good heart rhythms and with good strength in Jesus' name. I sleep well in Jesus' name. Oh, I every part of my body from rising to sleeping, Lord, functions as it should and Lord has strengthened it in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Bones strong and supple. Hallelujah. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Joints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joints. Lord, able to move and be free. Lord, not free from pain and discomfort in Jesus' name. There, because body, you are sharp in Jesus' name. Body, you are sharp in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Why don't you just speak that over your body? Why don't you say, my body is sharp? Why don't you even speak to the areas that have been challenged and you say, that area is sharp in Jesus' name. That area is functioning as it should. That area is as it's created for, as it's designed for, as it's meant to function for, what I enjoy. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord. Yes, siamo Maria. Hallelujah. And I even declare there are some things that people say, I was born with that. Well, I want to declare that is not its original purpose. You can be born with it, but that's not its original design. You can speak sharpness to things that you have had since birth. Sharpness in Jesus' name. Because we're talking about an original intent. Original purpose. Hallelujah. Not just what you have experienced in the past, but what has been planned and designed for your bodies. Hallelujah. Oh, I have been knit together and wonderfully. My body is amazingly knit together. Hallelujah. It says in Psalm 103, praise the Lord. Oh, I wanted to say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Everything that is within me, I want you to bless His holy name, and not body, let's not forget any of His benefits. Oh, He pardons all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit. He crowns me with loving kindness and with compassion. He satisfies my years with good things. So my youth is renewed like the eagle. Hallelujah. My body's getting sharper in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. My body's getting sharper in Jesus' name. This area in my body, the enemy's trying to attack. I declare it's actually going, it's getting sharper. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying the strength that I had, Lord, as a young man because of that sharpening and work in my body in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. So why don't you just praise Him? Worship team, come up here. Let's. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Just begin to praise Him for that sharpness. Hallelujah. Those online, I'm speaking this to you as well in the name of Jesus. You receive it. Hallelujah. Put your hand on that area of your body and say, you know, you're getting sharp in Jesus' name. You're sharpening up in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Speak in tongues over it. Let the Holy Spirit give His words that you can get in agreement with. Yes, hallelujah. Let God work. Hallelujah. Let God work. Mama Maria Sia Andorian. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we do that bridge that we. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to just spend a couple minutes ministering to the Lord. If you want prayer for healing, for anything else, you feel free to come down. We'll have prayer with you. If you want online, just notify us. We do pray and have teams that can pray. Hallelujah. We're just letting you know that this is a direction God's given us for this month, to exalt the healing power of God and declare that He is awesome because He heals. Hallelujah. Today we're exalting the fact that He's not just healing, He's making us sharp. That's His, what an awesome God. Hallelujah. And we're going to keep ministering and praying for you. Our aim is that by the last Sunday, we're going to have a healing meeting. And I want you, you can bring your friends over the next 3 weeks to these meetings and know that we will have prayer, that we will speak and uplift the word of healing to you. And then by the last week, we're just going to open it up and believe that God is going to do great signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not just miracles, signs and wonders that point to Him. Hallelujah. But if you want prayer this morning, ask for it online or come down the front while we just minister the Lord. And then I encourage you, get this word out, minister to others, help them experience the sharpness of God, and then bring friends and neighbors so that we can minister to them over the next few weeks. Thank you.